MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Let's start with this, and the state-owned Air Traffic Navigation Services is asking the Civil Aviation Authority for an extension on 31 flight procedures that expire on the 10th of April. If not granted, flights will be affected. Now, according to the Minister of Transport, Barbara Creasy, 66 of 300 flight procedures are set to expire, affecting, among others, OR Tambo International, Cape Town International, King Shaka and Lanseria. They can expire or become outdated due to factors like regulatory updates from aviation authorities or changes in airspace, such as new restrictions, navigation aids, or simple route adjustments. I'm in conversation now with Minister Creasy. Minister, thank you very much indeed. At a news conference earlier this week, you confirmed that critical skill shortages, equipment failures, and outdated procedures at ATNS have contributed to the flight delays and cancellations that we've seen recently. You also went on to say, if I heard you correctly, that intervention is now required. What is that intervention? And when's it going to happen?
Greetings, Jeremy, to you and all your listeners. Well, as you probably know, I appointed an intervention team to do an analysis in December. They gave me the report early in January. We then established four work streams. So a lot of the important things that need to be done are already underway. For example, on the skills issue, we advertised earlier this year. We are making offers to 13 highly skilled people that would include flight procedure designers and air traffic controllers and navigators this week. We've already brought two people on board who are now at undergoing the validation process. We are in consultation with the OEMs to upgrade our equipment, and we also want to make sure that our radio systems are in good nick by the end of March. A lot of progress has been made on establishing all the safety management systems that have been outstanding for a long period of time. But the sticky point is what you said in the introduction, the flight procedures. And there has been progress on the development of these flight procedures, but what is outstanding are the charts. These are obviously complicated technical designs. We have brought in two flight procedure designers who are working, but because of the complicated nature of the charts that are required, we won't be finished all of them by the 10th of April. Yesterday, there was a meeting with the Civil Aviation Authority. There was an action plan put before them, but they've requested further work to be done. So I'm not in a position at this point to indicate whether or not we will get a renewal of the alternative means of compliance. And as you say, this is something that is of deep concern to us, because it can mean that in bad weather, we would have to have flight delays.
Minister, what do you say to the outgoing Airlink Chief Executive Officer, Roger Foster, who's been scathing in his criticism? He says that ATNS's board and top management have no idea of the scale of the crisis. He goes on to say it's not merely for airlines and their passengers this problem, but for the national economy as well.
I actually read his statement, and I think that our own intervention team has analysed the areas of weakness that he refers to. You would know that I did order the board to suspend the CEO and conduct an investigation on her role in these failures. And I think that he is correct when he says this is a very serious situation. And it as he correctly indicates, not only impacts on individual passengers and airlines, but of course, aviation is a very important economic sector. And we would not want to see further delays and grounding of flights, because as they say, time is money, and all of these things impact impact on our growth trajectory.
Minister, the criticism is that all of this is moving too slowly. Many industry experts are saying that ATNS is now a serious safety risk, and there are guarantees that are needed that passenger safety is optimum at this point. Can you guarantee that?
Well, I think this is why we are working so closely with the Civil Aviation Authority, because they are the regulator and the custodian of safety. And it is the reason why I don't want to take shortcuts. I think that safety is the most important issue. Our country has a good safety record. And if we have to have delays rather than an accident, I think that we all know what the choice would be. But I would be able to answer more in terms of whether or not we will have those delays once the Civil Aviation Authority gives us a final ruling. But let me say that safety is my number one concern, and I'm not going to push the Civil Aviation Authority to do anything that could compromise airline safety in any way.
If that ruling is delayed, would you be happy to fly with your family post the 10th of April on a flight in South Africa?
Jeremy, I fly 4 times a week, every week. And let me say, first of all, that if there are delays, it doesn't mean that planes cannot fly legally and safely. What it means is if there were to be bad weather, they can't use instrument procedures. And we all understand that instrument procedures are a very important mitigating measure if there is bad weather. So obviously, if there were to be bad weather, then planes would not be allowed to take off because that would compromise safety. If there isn't bad weather, then planes can fly on manual procedures. But of course, what we want to try and ensure is that the relevant safety procedures are there so that we can continue to fly the instrument procedures which we are flying legally at the moment.
Do you think this fiasco has damaged South Africa's global aviation standing?
I take this situation extremely seriously. It's why I appointed an intervention team. It's why I have been meeting with the ATNS management and board every 2 weeks. It's why I am meeting weekly with the intervention team, because I am fully aware of the risks that are involved in this situation and the need to resolve it appropriately and speedily.
What a lot of people, Minister, find extraordinary is that airlines have been sounding the alarm on this issue for such a long time. And the sense is, and I acknowledge that this might be prior to your appointment, but the sense is still is that there was little action coming from the government that you now serve in.
You know, Jeremy, I can only account for since I've been there. And I can say to you that I have been dealing with this situation since a Sunday morning that was 10 days after my appointment. And I have been dealing with it with consistency and regularity. We've also had regular meetings with the airline industry on all of the measures that we're taking to deal with this situation. And I will continue to do that until the matter is resolved, as long as I'm in this position.
And Minister, finally, on a slightly different issue, are you concerned that SAA pilots are about to go on strike?
Well, I have been in contact this morning with the CEO of SAA. At the moment, there are plans for meetings. He has not indicated to me that a strike is imminent at this stage, but obviously I am paying close attention to that matter, and I am in constant contact with him on the processes of interaction between the SAA management and the airline pilots.
Minister Barbara Creasy, Transport Minister, thank you very much indeed.